Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week, congressional Democrats are choosing a new campaigner-in-chief to lead them through the 2022 midterms. The party is eager not to repeat this election's down-ballot disaster. Democrats lost at least 9 seats in the House. We're going to hear now from the two congressmen hoping to take over the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, or the DCCC, when members meet later this week to select a new leader. First up, Representative Tony Cardenas of California. Congressman, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Pleasure to be here.
And first of all, what's your analysis, your take on why Democrats lost seats in the House in 2020 after they were widely expected to expand their majority?
Well, it appears that 75 million voters came out to vote for Donald Trump, and that was a bit surprising to many of us after watching 4 years of atrocious language and actions and disregard for what's in the best interest of the American people. So that was something that was quite a surprise. But, you know, some of the things went well, but we got to roll up our sleeves and figure out how we can do better, because we can't repeat what we did last time. We can't lose seats.
How much of the improvement needs to be on the message in 2022 so the Democrats aren't tripped up, like they appeared to be this time around, by infighting over terms like defunding the police or socialism, things like that?
Well, one of the things I'd like to make it very clear, one of the core responsibilities of a support organization like the DCCC is to make sure that we understand and get all of our colleagues to respect and appreciate each other's opinion and perspectives. And so I've been saying, and it's the truth, you know, Alexandria is my sister and Connor is my brother. And I grew up in a family of 11 brothers and sisters. And boy, did we disagree. My parents taught us that you can agree or disagree, but don't ever hurt each other. Don't ever do anything that's going to hurt you as an individual or the family. And as far as I'm concerned, the Democratic Caucus is a family of amazing people who are trying to do what's best for the American people across the country, making sure that we have an economy that people can work in, making sure that we have schools and an education that's equal and fair for everybody, making sure that everybody can go to a doctor and get that health care that every person deserves, that level of dignity. We have a big responsibility of delivering that. We can only do that if we're in the majority.
Yeah, and you're referring to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the progressive,
yes,
from New York, and Connor Lamb from Pennsylvania, the moderate. Mm-hmm. They have publicly disagreed, let's say, over the direction of the party. Congressman, what has happened in places like South Florida and even in some parts of California where you are, and in Texas, where the Democratic Party lost support from Latinos? Who's responsible for that failure?
Well, there's a lot of responsibility to go around, but the buck does stop with the DCCC when it comes to losing House seats to Republicans. And it's really important for people to understand that many of us who actually speak two languages, my first language was Spanish, and I understand the cultural nuances that we need to implement when it comes to campaigning. It's not just one thing to say that, you know, that family across the street that only speaks one language, we're going to go ahead and spend a lot of time trying to get them to get out and vote and understand our issues. And then the family across the street, because they speak two languages, we should be giving them the same amount of respect, the same amount of attention. And believe me, when we do that, our message will prevail.
You have said the Democrats need to be more culturally competent to win. What do you mean by that? I mean, is that how you get those voters who we're talking about to pay attention to the Democratic Party again?
Yes, absolutely. I'll give you a perfect example. I grew up in a household where Spanish was my first language. I used to go to work with my father, and I used to come home to my mother, who stayed at home to raise 11 of us. And if the TV wasn't on in Spanish, the radio was on in Spanish. And so, for example, if you want to reach Spanish-speaking voters, Hispanic citizens in this country, it's really smart for you to invest in radio. But that cultural competency comes with this. You don't Google translate an ad from English into another language. For example, in the West, you should be working with somebody who knows the Hispanic communities in California, Nevada, specifically in Texas, which is very different than in Florida. There are many nuances that if you try to Google translate or you try to get somebody that doesn't have that cultural competency, you are going to waste your time, and the Republicans aren't going to waste any time trying to steal that voter their way.
How urgent is the position that your party is in right now? As you know, the party that controls the White House usually loses seats in the midterm elections, and your margin just got even thinner.
Well, The word usually is the optimum word. Usually doesn't guarantee anything. And the bottom line is, what I can guarantee you is, if I'm the DCCC chairman, I'm going to make sure that we have a place where every member can count on the support that they deserve and they need. So I'm going to bring together and welcome the most talented, dedicated staff, candidates, and members and vendors that we've unfortunately kept some of them out. We need to make sure that we don't overlook anybody, so that every single Democrat running for Congress gets all the support that they deserve and need. And I believe when we do that, we will prevail. We will not only keep the majority, but we will push back on the Republicans, and we will make sure that we hold the House of Representatives.
Congressman Tony Cardenas of California, thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And let's go now to Representative Sean Patrick Maloney of New York State, who's also in the running to be the next chairman of the DCCC. Congressman, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
And I'll ask you the same question I just asked the congressman from California. After the losses your party just racked up and the prospects for a tough road ahead in the midterms, how urgent does 2022 already feel?
Well, look, I mean, you know, we all get a two-year contract, so we're always mindful that the voters are going to get their say soon enough. You know, those of us who are in tough districts, you know, Donald Trump won my district in 2016, one of only 12 Democrats in the House elected on the same day as he was in one of these tough districts. You know that you've got to get out there and communicate. You've got to fight for things that people care about. And that's the best politics, is doing the work.
One of the selling points for you in this job is, as you said, you flipped a red seat blue in 2012. You've won a Republican-leaning district in New York's Hudson Valley five times now. What is it that you think you were able to do that other Democrats who lost their seats in reddish districts were not?
Well, look, I think when you're on the other side of the chessboard, the way I am, you know that you have to build a relationship with your voters. I'm proud to have won a Trump district five times, the last three times by double digits. That's a tall order when you're a gay guy, the first openly gay person ever elected to Congress from New York. The fact that we've been able to do that in a Trump district is something I'm proud of. I do think there are lessons for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and our party on how to build a relationship with people who don't already agree with us. Now, you've also got to make sure that your most reliable voters aren't neglected. You've got to give people things to vote for and get excited about. But we can do both. And I think that, you know, this is a game of addition. And we need to continue to work on expanding our coalition. That's what's worked for me in my district. That's how we're going to build a more durable majority.
Your fellow Democrat, Representative Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, told Politico recently that the brand of the National Democratic Party is mushy, that people don't know what the party stands for, what it's about. Do you agree?
Oh, I have a lot of respect for my friend Alyssa Slotkin. You know, I wouldn't agree with that, though. I think that, you know, I believe in the party of John Kennedy and Barack Obama. I believe in the party of Harry Truman and Franklin Roosevelt. I don't think there's a thing mushy about that. I think these were leaders who stood for progressive change in their time. That's who we are. That's what we're about. We can do that again. And I think that the solutions are all around us. But it starts with having someone at the DCCC who is humble enough to listen to everyone, to take seriously their opinions, and to run a rigorous after-action process that really gets some answers so we can have a shared understanding, a new battle plan, and we can win.
Well, Congressman, it does sound like you are willing to criticize at least some ways that the party has been run over the past years. You've said that the DCCC itself is stuck in the past. So how so? And what would you change?
Well, as my mom liked to say, I'd rather light a candle than curse the darkness. I think there's always things we can do better. And that doesn't take away from all the hard work that's been done up to now. But yes, we can raise our game in the space of digital and social media communications. We can do better on that. I think we can look at what went well in 2018, particularly the exciting things that happened with women voters, with people of color, the African-American community in places like Georgia, where organizing and community engagement, I think, delivered that state. We need to learn from those strategies. I think we have become too good at big money and big TV ads, and not as good as being on the ground in the community, doing the old-fashioned organizing work that worked well in the civil rights movement, in the labor rights movement, in the LGBT equality movement. That's who we are. I think that's particularly true in certain Latino communities where we need to understand the full diversity of those many different communities and have some cultural competence in the way we engage there. It's why I'm proud that people like Veronica Escobar and Linda Sanchez have joined my campaign, and we plan to elevate those issues. So there's many things we can do better.
Well, to the point you're trying to make there, Congressman, we just spoke with Representative Tony Cardenas, a Spanish-speaking person from California who's making a lot of the same points you are. Why wouldn't he be better to do that kind of outreach considering his background?
I don't take anything away from my friend Tony Cardenas. I think he'd be very effective on that project in particular. I think Latinas like Veronica Escobar and Linda Sanchez will have the lead for me on those issues and would be equally as effective. And there are other very important issues as well. We need to have a real 50-state strategy for redistricting. That's very important. We need to fix our polling and our data and registering voters and expanding the electorate. I have a plan for that. So there's a lot that goes into selecting the next DCCC chair, but it doesn't mean my opponent doesn't have something to offer. We're friends and classmates from 2012. We got elected the same year. I just think for this job, I'm a better fit.
Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney of New York, thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Hey, my pleasure.
And House Democrats will choose the next leader of the DCCC on Thursday.